This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
All right, ready to roll for moving day at the Rocket Classic. What a leaderboard we have here. We're talking about what may go down as one of the, once again, like last year, like the Pat Kuerta win last year. This could be one of the better regular season tournaments of the year when it's all said and done up there at Detroit. Cameron Young and Patrick Cantlay and Patrick Fishburn all tied at the top at 10 under. Young and Cantlay. Cameron Young obviously having a phenomenal season, Players Champion, won at Doral, just finished runner-up at the Open to Ryan Fox, was the 12-1 favorite coming into this week. No surprise at all, he's tied at the top after a 61 yesterday. We'll hear from Young after round two. He started on the back, birdied 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Went out on the back in 28, only made two birdies on the front, his back. Said the putter actually cooled off on the back nine. We'll get into Young. You got Ricky Fowler there at 9 under. He past champion here in Detroit. Coming off back-to-back top 20s, the Deer in the Open. Rick was a solid look coming into the week. We have him to top 30. He's going to have a chance to likely win going into Sunday. Ricky has not looked sharp in the final rounds yet this season, but continues to give himself opportunities. I'm fired up. Michael Brennan's in the mix heading into the weekend, only two back. We have Brennan at 94-1 pre-tournament. You have Chris Kirk up top the leaderboard, only two off the lead. And Kirk, he just loves Detroit, 41 years old. We talked Tuesday. Kirk had not done much on the greens all season, really hadn't found his mojo with the putter. Best finish coming into this week, tied 31st on two different occasions, but loves Detroit, loves Sedgefield, where the tour will be at next week. Xander Schauffele, a superstar. Two-time major winner who is only two off the lead. You have 13 players in Detroit within two shots of the lead. And you look at the guys all the way down to 5 under going in today, and they're going to be in play. Marco Ping, he's going to, after a 6 under round yesterday to get himself back in the mix, 64. He's a great course fit who's going to hang around over the weekend. Michael Thor Bjornsson, who was only one shot outside of the playoff last year in Detroit. He's at 7 under, only three back. Keegan Bradley, only three back. Russell Henley, who I thought was getting a ton of disrespect from Vegas pre-tournament. He was 45-1 pre-tournament. And you're talking about a guy who, won within the last couple months at Colonial, won last year at the Arnold Palmer, has been a commendable major player. He's only four shots off the lead heading into the weekend. A lot to get fired up about, as well as the and we'll continue on the Rocket here in a second. But you have a great leaderboard there at the Korn Ferry Tour event in Utah as well. That's a tournament that's being shown on the Golf Channel this weekend, and a ton of talent out of Texas. You did have the first 59 of the Korn Ferry Tour season yesterday, shot by Chris Francoeur at 30-29 with an eagle on the par 4 fourth. Very impressive round to take a three-shot lead over Kevin Doherty and Mason Anderson. Kevin Doherty, friend of the show, lives in Dallas. As far as the players from Texas in the mix, Cole Hammer, our guy, only five back at 12 under heading the weekend. You also have Chad Sewell, only five back after a very good, very elite 7 under 63 yesterday. Chad, from the Conroe area, played his college golf at Sam Houston State. We will have his caddy, Tanner Bandini, on the show with us at the halfway point of the program. You have Tommy Morrison back in the mix. He's six back heading of the weekend. And, we talked about Morrison at the halfway point of the Evans Scholar last weekend. He went on to win his first Korn Ferry Tour tournament. So congratulations to Tommy. What a role he's on in his first four events. Has not finished worse than 10th in four Korn Ferry Tour events since since coming out of Texas. As far as the Texas players in Utah, Matthew Riedel, he is at 9 under, 8 back. That's still in the mix with 36 to go at a Corn Ferry Tour event. Friend of the show, Drew Murdoch, on the bag. Can get live updates throughout every tournament Matthew plays on Drew's Instagram at Murdoch on the bag. Does a great job updating it, behind the scenes stuff, in depth look at equipment, great stuff. Does a great job each and every week through the practice rounds. Typically, you know, Matthew Riedel, he's playing with Cole Hammer, a couple other stallions who are from Texas. Drew does a great job documenting that week to week. Really worth a rare worthy follow on the social medias. Now, let's get into Detroit. Let's get back to Detroit. Let's talk about Cameron Young, who Friday belonged to. 9 under 61, tying the tournament course record set by Jake Knapp last year. And Peter Malnati, hats off to Malnati. 9 under 61 for him as well on Thursday. Young's been balling. You know, won the Players, won Doral, made a great run at the Open where it was his to lose on the 72nd hole. Unfortunately, made a bogey. Still playing very good golf. And as aforementioned, what makes him dangerous is he shot 61 yesterday and felt like the putter cooled off on the back nine. Here was Young after round two.
I mean, most things. I really had, you know, it felt like I had a 10-footer for birdie on pretty much every hole. So, I made a bunch of them in a row on the front nine and then or on the back nine, my first nine. And then the putter kind of went cold a little bit for my second nine. But just really solid golf all the way through and, you know, happy to have kind of played my way back into the tournament a little bit after yesterday.
So this is Cameron Young's fourth career 36-hole lead or co-lead. He has converted two of these leads. He converted at the Wyndham and his first PGA Tour win at the end of last year, and he converted a 36-hole lead at the Cadillac earlier this season. Well-equipped in the big spot, would not surprise me one bit if he was your eventual Rocket champion. Let's see, the only 36-hole lead, I said this was Cameron Young's fourth career 36-hole lead or co-lead. It's his third. He has converted two of three. The only one he failed to convert, he went into the weekend at the 23 John Deere Classic in Silvis with the lead, ended up finishing tied sixth. That was 3 years ago now. That was before Cam Young became a PGA Tour champion. That's before Cameron Young showed his chops in the big spot in a big-time way on the PGA Tour. And, you know, you look at Young's history. You know, it's not just that he's playing well this year. Yes, he has a couple of top 10 finishes in Detroit over his career. Finished runner-up here in 2022, tied sixth in 24. So, once again, you want to talk about the strong favorite. You know, Patrick Cantlay, yeah, he's a multi-time PGA Tour winner. But, you know, we saw him have the lead after the first round at the Scottish Open, not even make the cut. There's too much variance there. Really has not had a strong season. We'll get to Cantlay later. He was talking about kind of his mediocre 2026 thus far. Cameron Young, I thought my favorite quote from him after round two, a reporter, and I'm sorry, I don't have the reporter's name. I didn't know who it was. A reporter asked him, you know, what's the feeling of going into the weekend with a tied for the lead or with a lead right now compared to let's say before Sedgefield last year, before you were a PGA Tour winner. Asked him what the mindset there was, and here was his answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the main difficulty of golf, I think, pretty succinctly described there. Anytime you feel like that, it's difficult to some extent. You know, you wonder, am I missing something? Why is this the way that it is? Why is it not working? All those things. But it's when it goes well, it feels totally the opposite. And you know, when it goes well, you feel like you never will play bad again. And it just comes and goes. So you kind of just have to be ready for either one. You know, at some point it's going to get harder, and at some point you'll come out of that difficult period and it'll feel easy again. So it's kind of just a game of being ready for whatever comes next.
Yeah, and Young has had a lot of ebbs and flows within his career season. You look at his performance after the wins at the Players and the Cadillac. He got cold with the putter for a bit. You know, finished outside the top 20 at the PGA. Tied 46th at Jack's Place, had a disappointing week at the U.S. Open where he finished 43rd, didn't make much of an impact at the Travelers, finished 47th there, all really because of the putter. His ball striking, his driving, his iron play has remained very sharp all season. It's just in the back end of May and most of June, the putter got cold, and now, you know, finished second at the Open, and now feels like he's in that place where the bad golf is behind him. And once again, definitely the strongest favorite, not only because he's on top of the leaderboard, but just the overall year from Cameron Young, the overall history in Detroit for Cameron Young would not surprise us a bit if he was the winner on Sunday. Patrick Cantlay tied at the top with Young. You know, this is a very different story here. You know, Patrick Cantlay has not won a PGA Tour event since the 2022 BMW Championship. And when you look at, contrary to Cameron Young, who has been rock solid in the big spot, this is Patrick Cantlay's 10th career 36-hole leader co-lead. He has converted one of nine of these leads. The one conversion was 5 years ago at the Tour Championship. And, you know, his game has been very quiet this year. Had a little run there in late March into April where, you know, he put together four top 15s in a row. You know, played well at the Valspar, which he usually does. Had a decent week at the Masters. Played well at the RBC. But since that run, since the end of May, only a couple top 20s in six total events. You know, 43rd on the FedEx Cup. Let me see where Cantlay stands as far as the President's Cup, which is coming up. We got to start talking about the President's Cup. Patrick Cantlay, you know, because he is a very commendable, he has a 10-4 record in President's Cup. Right now, he's 17th. So he has not, as well as he has done in President's Cup, a worthy veteran, 34 years old, has six national teams appearances as a professional. This year has not gone well for Cantlay, and here was world number 39 on the struggle he's had in 2026.
Yeah, I'd say it's been pretty mediocre so far, but golf's funny. You can, you know, change your whole season in a week or two. So my game, I feel like, has been headed in the right direction, and I've been working hard. So I'm pretty optimistic about the end of the season.
Yeah, once again, three top 10 finishes and 16 starts. He doesn't seem too worried about it. He feels like, you know, as long as he's around, you know, for the BMW and he's at, you know, he loves the bent grass. Detroit, where's the BMW championship this year? Give me 1 second. Let's see. Belrive in St. Louis, Missouri, I believe. I'm not sure if that is bent grass. Gonna have to do some research on that. You know, he loves the BMW site like Caves Valley and Conway Farms. You know, those are Cantlay specials. I'll have to look more into Belrive. Let's see. They had a PGA there. Let's see how Cantlay fared there. He finished tied 27th, was positive across the board. Yeah, he's going to be looking to kind of sneak into the top 30 on the FedEx Cup by the end of the season, do a couple good course fits. This is a big weekend for him. And then, you know, his President's Cup spot, seems like Cantlay needs a win coming in. That said, 10-4 record. Captain Snedeker is going to like that. This is a big year for Snedeker. We're going to talk a lot about the international team and some of how much talent Jeff Ogilvie has on that team. You look at some of the younger guys, Jaden Schaefer, Casey Jarvis, a lot of top-notch South Africans coming up the ranks for the international team. You know, Snedeker, captain for the United States, he can't get lazy here. This is not your run-of-the-mill international team. A lot of top talent coming up for the internationals. On the other side, we're going to get into Ricky Fowler and the rest of this leaderboard. I'm fired up for the weekend in Detroit. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. We're back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Let me tell you, the five unders are not out of this thing in Detroit. Hideki there at five under, playing solid golf. The putter just has let him down a touch over the last 2 days. But he's coming in here off three top 15s in a row, played very well at the 3M last week. I expect Hideki, if he can get that putter back going, to get back into this tournament. Once again, only five off the lead. When the morning wave was done yesterday, I really thought someone was going to get to 12, 13, 14 under par and kind of leave. You know, we Michael Brennan and Marco Ping, our main chasers, going into the weekend. But I really thought, you know, Hideki Matsuyama and then Davis Thompson, who is also at five under playing well, I thought these guys would kind of be left in the dust by now if they were at five under. But they still have a chance to get out there this morning and post something low and really get the attention of the leaders. Once again, if you're just joining us, Cameron Young, Patrick Cantlay, Patrick Fishburne, all at 10 under. I expect Cameron Young to remain there until the end of the weekend. And yeah, he's going to be pushed by the likes of Ricky Fowler and the likes of Michael Brennan, likes of Marco Ping. But with five holes left, Michael Thorbjornsson, Chris Kirk, back in the mix, the 46-year-old vet. Cameron Young's going to be pushed. I expect him to still remain in that top group, one of the top three tee times on Sunday, whereas Cantlay, not so sure. And then Patrick Fishburne, here's your kind of David in the pool of Goliaths. Patrick Fishburne's 145 on FedEx Cup coming into this week. And if you're unfamiliar, top 70 after the Wyndham Championship, retained PGA Tour membership, and you have to be inside the top 70 to make the playoffs. And Fishburne, a non-PGA Tour winner, 34 years old, he's going to have to work some magic over the next 2 weeks to keep his job at the top level of the professional game. Ricky Fowler is very interesting. You know, everyone's waiting for him to kind of breakthrough again. We haven't seen him in the winner's circle since Detroit many years ago for his fifth PGA Tour win back in 2023. This year has had its spurts of elite play. You look at that run from Ricky at the end of April and early May, you know, three top tens in a row, all its signature events at the RBC and the Cadillac and the Truist at Quail Hollow. I think a lot of people thought that he was going to make more of a case, including myself. I thought he was going to make a major case at Aronimink at the PGA Championship there in Philly. And really, he was in solid position there through 36, and the putter completely let him down over the weekend. Finished tied 60th at the PGA, and that really started a run of poor golf. I believe got a sinus infection in Fort Worth, missed the cut there, missed the cut at Jack's Place, missed the cut at the U.S. Open. Finally got healthy here at the end of June and early July, and has put together a couple back-to-back top 20s at the John Deere and the Open. So he was a very, very solid look going into this week. I'm not surprised he's up there. His 131 total is his best 36-hole score in eight appearances in Detroit, even better than his win. Here was Fowler on the fact that there is nothing to work on, and it's just execution now for him.
If I needed to work on some stuff, I probably wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. I mean, a lot of it's just execution. I made plenty of putts, and, you know, I've driven it well enough, hit plenty of good iron shots, just, executing properly and, you know, maybe a few less mistakes and we'll be in a good spot.
So Ricky's one back. Let me get these odds for you. And I'm just looking at Kalshi here. Ricky is he is 12-1 right now. I believe closed the week somewhere between 35 and 45-1. I would have to look back at that. Your odds right now: Cameron Young +265 at the top of the board. Very good. Patrick Fishburne 20-1. First off, for Young to be +265, that to me, with how solid of a look he was coming into this week, not a bad option if you have some surrounding tickets. Now, Fishburne at 20-1, he talked a lot about the, and this is the last thing on Fishburne, this is his third career 36-hole lead. It did not convert at the 2024 RSM, had the lead at the halfway point at the 2025 Sony, and finished tied sixth. Here was Fishburne. He had played Detroit a couple times before this year, did not make much of an impact. Here he was on some of the renovations, completely changed golf course compared. Well, I shouldn't say completely changed golf course. It's playing about the same difficulty, but they put new greens in, put a couple more bunkers in the middle of the fairways, a couple more bunkers to try to avoid the bomb and gouge. Here was Fishburne, really the more underdog co-leader on Detroit's renovation.
I think it makes you think a lot more off the tee. I think you can hit so many different clubs because you're usually going over a bunker and then staying short, or you can take it on. And so it makes you think off the tee. And then second shots as well. I mean, you can get in more trouble than you could previous years. And so I just feel like you have to play a little smarter, and you have to kind of plot your way around maybe a little more than years past.
So he would become the eighth first-time PGA Tour winner this season. I do not expect that to happen. You look at Fishburne's year, did have a top 20 at the 3M last week, but really has not putted well enough at all to expect to keep up. You're going to get some rain in Detroit today. There's some showers in the area. ESPN Plus coverage already live, and it's overcast for sure. You know, if it rains, it is going to become, I do still believe you're going to see the winning score push to 22, 23 under. I think they will go crazy low over the weekend. Fishburne, not at the top of my favorites going into the weekend, despite him having the lead. You know, back to Cantlay, who is tied at the top. You know, he did rebound quite nicely yesterday. He started on the back nine. He was one under through 10. Was kind of stuck compared to, you know, round one, where, you know, he came out firing with, when you look at Cantlay's front nine on Thursday, had the eagle on four. He was, let's see, he was five under through 10. Yesterday comes out, was only one under through 10, turned it on the front nine, which was his back nine, made birdies on 1, 3, and 5 to get it to 10 under. Here was Cantlay on the big rebound.
Yeah, it obviously played pretty easy this morning. You can see Cameron went low today, made a bunch of birdies. I didn't get off to the quickest start, you know, and I was just out of position on some holes that really changed the hole quite a bit. Like 17, I drove, hit a decent drive, but it caught the fairway bunker, and then you're just scrambling. So I was pretty pleased to get through that first nine this morning and not make any bogeys. You know, kind of kept the momentum and then played a pretty decent second nine today.
All right, looking further at the chasers, Matt Wallace is one back after shooting 64 on Friday. Wallace, 98 on the FedEx Cup standings. There's another one. Matt Wallace is he really have to credit Wallace. He keeps status on both tours, plays all over the world all year long. He's 54th on the DP World Tour Order of Merit, so it's not like he is in a situation where he could lose his job. He has had touches of brilliance throughout the year. Second at the Valero Texas Open, second at the Italian Open. I like the grittiness from Wallace at 36 years old. He's a vet who, and a PGA Tour winner, who, when you look at some of these guys who you're not really, you didn't expect to see through 36, Fishburne, Wallace, Malnati. Michael Kim played very well last week, shot 59 last week, PGA Tour winner, so I'm not surprised he's up there. But some of these more unknowns, Wallace is one that I would expect to hang around, and 131 at 9 under, that's his best 36-hole total of the season. Well done there. Xander Schauffele, two back. You know, Ryan Gerard, also two behind. He has three runner-up finishes this season, five top fives. Talk about someone that is ready to break through and win for a second time. won the Barracuda last year, and really since the end of May has really picked it up, really cleaned up his total game, has really found the correct putter. That was his struggle most of the year. Put a plumber's neck mallet in the bag at the end of May, and since then, three top tens and six starts, including a top 10 at the Open last year. So I expect Gerard to hang around the top of the leaderboard. On the other side, you have a couple vets with some big storylines. You know, we'll get more into Hideki Matsuyama. We'll get more into Jordan Spieth, who has grinded it around to get it to 6-under. Keegan Bradley also there at 7-under. We'll get more into that. We'll get into Matt Kuchar making a hole-in-one, letting a kid come out, get the ball out of the cup. Kuchar doing some PR recovery after Puerto Rico a couple years back. This is the Golf Hour with Will Docter. We'll be back after this.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, and many others, lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Now you can experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your family and friends. See you on the course.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Docter.
All right, let's get to a local story here. You look at the Utah Championship, which is going on this week on the Korn Ferry Tour, and it's being shown live on Golf Channel. There's going to be quite a few Korn Ferry Tour events shown on Golf Channel as we close out the season and as the Korn Ferry Tour gets into the electric playoffs. A ton of great golf going down in Utah this week. As aforementioned, the first segment, how about Chris Francoeur, a 59 yesterday? It was the first 59 on the KFT this season. He holds a three-shot lead, but you have a lot of Texas-based or Texas natives in the mix. You know, Kevin Doherty practices in Dallas, friend of the show, three back at 14 under. Cole Hammer, five back at 12 under, going to have a great chance going into the weekend. And how about Chad Sewell, 12 under par, five back, excellent round yesterday, 7 under 63, and we're lucky enough to have his caddy, Tanner Bandini, on the line with us. Tanner, great to have you aboard. How are you this morning?
I'm great, man. Always good talking to you. Good to get back in the routine of calling in the show. How have you been?
Yeah, everything is good, Tanner. Let's see, cold with the picks, but overall, it has been an enjoyable season. Absolutely loved Ryan Fox win at the Open, and looking forward to a great weekend of golf coverage, not only in Utah, but also in Detroit. But let's stay with KFT here, Tanner. First off, Ogden, producing low scores. It was also, you know, it's also been 100 plus degrees out there. Now, being that you guys are from Texas, from Houston, Conroe area, does that bother you at all, Tanner?
I do not like the heat, but Chad and I always say, look, make it 115 degrees and it's going to suck for everybody and it'll suck a little bit less for us. So I'll take it as hot as it gets.
All right, yesterday's round, 7 under 63. Had to have been a fun day. Take me through that, Tanner.
I mean, anytime you make 10 birdies in 18 holes, you're doing something really good, and especially the way he hit the ball yesterday was just, and the day before has just been amazing. They're very, very bumpy-ish bent green, so when you're giving yourself 1 to 2 footers for birdie pretty consistently, it's gonna help making putts out there.
Now, and your preparation for Utah and the majority of this season, how is it seeing some of these courses for the first time, Tanner? And what have you learned week to week? And I'm asking more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Has anything changed for you this year?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously learn to do research on the previous years, but don't put too much weight into that, because if you saw last year, I believe it was Julian Suri won here, and the total score was 17 under or 16 under. So we've pretty much already surpassed that. So it's a way different golf course than last year. But obviously, kind of figuring out early which holes are good par holes, which holes you don't need to force things on and make a big mistake. And I feel like we've been very, very good about that this week.
All right, Tanner, I want to put the skunk on the table here and get your feel on this. You know, Chad has not made the weekend in his last six tournaments. This is a wonderful opportunity for him this week. Had the back-to-back top tens in Argentina and Chile earlier this year. But I want you to tell our listeners just how small the margins are, Tanner, and just how, you know, it's not necessarily a representation of not playing good golf, but I mean,
right.
Some weeks here or there, it's one or two shots.
Oh yeah. And there's been three or four of those six cuts we missed where we're sitting in the hotel or Airbnb Friday and we're like, God, I felt like we hit the ball really, really good to miss the cut. And we've just kind of been in a little phase where he's playing really, really good. We're just not scoring. It felt like there's just been a lid on the hole for the past couple, 6 weeks where he's hitting great putts, hitting great approach shots, just can't make birdies. And you know better than anybody, you got to make birdies out here.
Yeah, and Tanner, I mean, when the winning score, and it's not every week, but when you have winning score, how about this week, 17 under at the halfway point, are there weeks when you feel maybe a miscut week where you feel Chad has done his job and you feel like y'all have made enough putts and it's simply there's just a lot more guys going lower on that specific week? Let me rephrase that question. Do y'all ever feel after a miscut that you've played well enough on Thursday and Friday to make the weekend and the scores are just simply too low?
Absolutely. And we never, ever make excuses, but I really believe what a lot of people don't realize is you can get a really bad draw with weather.
Yeah.
Like in Denver, I mean, the morning we were late early and we had four delays that Thursday because it was lightning storms coming in from the mountain. It was literally blowing 40 miles an hour and he goes out and shoots even par. And it was, I mean, it played, I believe, 3.4 shots harder in the afternoon than it did that morning. So you obviously have stuff like that, and you just think, how can we manage? How can we do our job?
All right, Tanner, you've been around the world over the last couple of years. Let's talk just this year on KFT. What's been your favorite spot thus far, personally?
It's so hard to not say that Argentina one. You get that first top 10, and obviously my dad was the first person born in the U.S. on his side of the family. They're all from Argentina, so it's kind of like I've always wanted to go there. I was personally excited to go there. So to get the first top 10 there, and it was a golf course that just fit him perfectly, Argentina was that was definitely a very special one.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you had Argentine blood on your dad's side of the family, Tanner. But the crowds down there are just a different level from what I understand.
I think about it literally every day. The shot he hit on the 72nd hole to birdie and finish top 10, he put it to a foot. And I've never been at an event where I heard a golf crowd that loud. Like, I got chills. I still get chills thinking about it. It was unbelievable.
All right, Tanner, how do you all spend your downtime over the course of the season? When you get off the course, do you go to the gym? Do you kick the legs up? Does it depend on the day? Give me a feel of that.
We're usually a gym in the morning kind of group. Him and I will go together. We stay with Hunter Eichhorn and his girlfriend who caddies for him named Sarah. So we do a lot of stuff with them. They're super, super great people. So we'll do at least dinners together. And 2 days ago, we drove into the mountains in Utah, checked it out. So you always want to try to find some things once you get off the course to take your mind off of golf. Because when you're in the middle of these 5 week stretches, if you're strictly just thinking about golf, 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 you're going to get burned out and you're going to put a little more pressure on yourself. So finding ways to just take your mind off golf and realize you're kind of living the dream. You're doing exactly what you wanted to do as a kid. So just enjoying every moment of it.
Well done, Tanner. We've got Tanner Bandini on the show. His guy, Chad Sewell, only five back heading into the weekend at Utah, going to have a great opportunity. Tanner, you mentioned you guys work out together. I have not heard that often, but I absolutely love it. You and Chad are workout partners. I mean, you guys work out together consistently week to week?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, some days he'll do a little more golf-related exercises,
right,
and I'll grab some dumbbells, do some bicep curls, have some fun with it. I don't necessarily need to move as good as he does, so we'll do different things, but we go together most every morning.
Yeah, but that's got to be nice. I mean, especially for him to have his guy in the gym with him And I'm sure as far as, and once again, golf-specific exercises, not a lot of spotting going on, but when that time comes, I'm sure it's great to have a partner there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I've told you before, he's the best person you could ever work for. He's an unbelievable dude. He's so good at managing his emotions. So whether it's golf or literally anything, I love spending time with him. He's an awesome guy.
All right, I remember asking you this. It was a couple weeks after the Argentina-Chile run. And I asked you, you know, other than Chad, who is an absolute flusher, but, you know, who else has impressed you out there? And I remember you mentioned Hunter Etchhorn before his win, and you knew exactly what was coming there as far as Etchhorn's game. Since then, any other players you guys have played with, Tanner, where you saw the ball striking or the freaky putting and you went, wow, that I've never seen before. Any of those moments?
There's definitely some, and I bet when I call back in a week, because we've got a date with Tommy Morrison today, I guarantee you it's going to be his name. That guy, I mean, what he's doing right now is just unfathomable, how he's come in and just guns a-blazing, finishing top five, it seems, every week, winning last week. I mean, and the way he won last week, birding his first five or something holes when he's got a 3-4-shot lead, just completely shutting the door. I feel like that's very, very rare for a kid to come out of school. Obviously, you have Koivin doing it, but what Morrison's done, in my opinion, is just as unbelievable.
Well said. And remember, Tanner has, you know, he's gone through all the ranks of professional caddying. Does a lot of caddying at Whispering Pines in Trinity, Texas, number one golf course in Texas. Caddied for Luis Carrera around the world. But at the last Spirit, which is the next one, 2026, this upcoming November, Tanner was out with us, on the golf course, assisting with the Spirit and all the teams. And Tommy was there representing for Team USA. And what a unit. 6'10", flushes the golf ball, great attitude, kind mindset. Tommy Morrison, just the full package out of Texas. And you nailed it, Tanner. I mean, since in his four events, since leaving Austin, has not finished worse than 10th in four events, special golf. And y'all are out with him today. Is that right, Tanner?
Yes, sir. A little two ball. So that'll be nice in the heat. I always love when it's just a twosome on the weekend.
No, that's going to be incredible. We're going to be following along, and everybody can watch on the Golf Channel. Once again, this is Tanner Bandini, caddy for Chad Sewell, who's only five back heading into Utah. Tanner, thanks so much for the time this morning. Go have a great weekend.
Thank you. Always good talking to you, Will.
All right, Houston golf fans, one of the most prestigious amateur championships in the world is coming back to Texas. The 2026 Spirit International Amateur Golf Championship takes place November 9th. Through the 14th, as aforementioned, at the number one ranked golf course in Texas, Whispering Pines Golf Club in Trinity. The Spirit brings together the best men and women from 20 countries in a 54-hole Olympic-style competition featuring both team and individual gold medals. And if you follow professional golf, you just listen to me and Tanner's conversation, you already know the legacy. Tommy Morrison, Scottie Scheffler, Lorena Ochona, Yanni Tseng, Victor Hovland, Rose Zhang, they all came and played in the Spirit before they became major champions and global stars. Opening ceremonies for the Spirit begin November 10th with tournament rounds running Thursday through Saturday and closing ceremonies on the 14th. And it's bigger than golf. Hosted by the Spirit Golf Association, this championship supports critical charitable initiatives in healthcare, education, and food programs with more than $13 million contributed to date. The 2026 Spirit International, bringing the world's best young players to Texas and putting Houston at the center of global amateur golf. Learn more at www.thespiritgolf.org, www.thespiritgolf.org. Back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, a couple players on the golf course already in Detroit. You're seeing, you know, some Jordan Smith, 3-under through 6. He's gotten it to 6-under, only 4 back. Per usual, as we've seen all week, a lot of players taking advantage of those first 7 holes. Rasmus Højgaard, 3 under through 7. Now it's 6 under, 4 back. Want to get into a couple of these other veterans who are at the 5 under mark, specifically Tony Finau and Matt Kuchar. Tony, you know, he's a past champion here, and really kind of looking to turn his game around. In the same boat, similar as kind of Ricky Fowler, who, you know, is someone, a multi-time winner. Tony has 6 wins, and these last 2 years have just been a big-time struggle as far as the driving accuracy and a lot of times with the putter. Tony only has 1 top 10 coming into this week. That was at the Byron Nelson, which is another bomb and gouge. But Finau, he got it going nicely yesterday, was 3 over through his first 4 holes, and turns it around, ends up shooting a 3 under 67, which was really highlighted by a cool eagle chip in on the 8th hole in round 2. Here was more on that from Tony.
Yeah, that was pretty special. I hit a good drive. It just went past the green, but it finished right on the upslope on the back of the green. And so I told my caddy walking up, you know, I was like, this chipping alley back here, you know, this is a good spot to be, as good as you can have outside of being on the green. So I executed this chip shot perfect, and I made an eagle. I needed it.
So, yeah, once again, Finau, you look at his 4 events rolling into this week, 40th in Canada, 55th at Travelers, 59th at John Deere. Missed cut at the 3M. He is 87th on the FedEx Cup standings. That is tough to believe. Tony Finau has dropped to 130 in the official world golf rankings, 87th, with a chance to he could, you know, if he plays his way into the top 10, top 5 this week, he's going to be in excellent standing to make an attempt to get into the top 70 next week at Sedgefield. Let's see how Tony has fared at Sedgefield over the years. He has only played the Wyndham once. That was last year, which was another year where he was not locked up to get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. I believe fell short last year. So Sedgefield, not a good setup. Tony needs to make a big run today. Here was world number 130, the 6-time winner in Finau on the slow 2026.
I don't know if pressure is the right word more than, you know, I haven't been happy with the results. You know, I haven't played the way that I know I can play. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it's been a low season, you know, for me. But I continue to stay enthusiastic about each week and the future. And, you know, I feel like my future is still bright, even on a season like this.
All right, let's get to your call. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got Timmy time in Auburn. Tim, congratulations on the Jackson Koivun win last week, the 3M, where he said, hello, world. How are you this morning? Timmy, fire away.
Doing great. It was a very superb win for Jackson, and now he's tied with Tommy Fleetwood with wins on the PGA Tour and just what a third career start. And he looks like he's a seasoned vet out there. When you have Scottie Scheffler, who is going out there shooting a 63, I think it was, and trying to win that thing, and you're able to hold off the best golfer since Tiger Woods. I mean, that as we've seen a lot of golfers on Sunday sleeping with the lead absolutely implode on Sunday, Jackson was like, I'm different, and that's not going to happen.
Really unbelievable close to his Auburn season. When you look at last year, won the SEC Men's Golf Championship stroke play, really had one of the most well-accomplished college careers of all time. Koivun comes out and has had a similar entrance to professional golf as Tommy Morrison, the Texas X, who just won on the Korn Ferry Tour last week. They've both played four events, Morrison on Korn Ferry Tour, Koivun on the PGA Tour. Koivun went 23rd at the U.S. Open, did miss the cut at the John Deere, but then rebounded with the top 10 at the ISCO and then got his first PGA Tour win last week at 21. Great stuff. And Koivun back in action this week, did make the cut in Detroit. He's 5 under, only 5 back, 5 under still in this golf tournament. Here he is for birdie on the 4th. Let's see, about an 18-foot look. Just missed it right. Played a little too much break, but commendable stuff there for the 21-year-old. Tim, what's on your mind going into the weekend in Detroit? Let me hear it.
It's Michael Brennan. He's kind of, when you look at the numbers from this week, he could easily be the leader of this tournament.
He
right
should
now.
Be at 12 under
As
par,
you know,
Tim.
His strength is strokes gained off the tee. That is, he's second on tour. That is the strength of this game. And he is 88 in strokes gained off the field this week. He's 7th total strokes gained, 9th strokes gained putting, and 10th strokes gained approach. So his strength is pretty much why he's not winning this golf tournament right now. So if he gets that straightened out off the tee and starts getting some strokes off the tee, Michael Brennan will have the top spot in this tournament.
And as far as birdies is concerned, Michael Brennan can get about as hot as anyone in this field. And we saw that on Thursday when he made 8 birdies in a row between the 5th hole and the 12th hole at Detroit Golf Club. That was one off the PGA Tour record of 9 birdies in a row. I love Brennan rolling into this weekend. I love that take that, you know, his distance can get him into trouble. He's a pretty accurate driver of the golf ball. But his disappointing holes this week, the par 5 4th on Thursday where he bogeyed, the par 4 18th yesterday where he made double. But I thought that was a very gritty second round from Brennan. When he doubled 18 and went back to 5 under, he was about 5 off, or he was about 5 off the lead at that point. And then bogeyed the second. He went 3 over in a 3-hole stretch at Detroit Golf Club. That usually takes you out of this golf tournament, this course. His distance, like you just said, his driver got him back in this tournament. Eagled the 4th hole. Birdied 8 and 9. 8's a great par 4. 9 sunk a 22-footer for birdie on 9 to get it to 8 under and only 2 back. Absolutely obsessed with Michael Brennan, the one-time PGA Tour winner heading the weekend. Tim, great call. I want to get to one other thing before I leave you. Matt Kuchar at 5 under. He's a veteran, top 10 in career money. He made a hole-in-one yesterday. Let me confirm this hole. Now, he made a hole-in-one on the par 3 5th yesterday, and he's currently at 6 under making a move. He's 2 under through 5 holes in his 3rd round, only 4 off the lead. Interesting interaction for Kuchar. If you remember a couple years ago, he won in Puerto Rico and stiffed the caddy, tried to give him $100 after winning $1 million in a week. Kuchar now doing some PR revival. He made a hole-in-one yesterday, ended up letting a kid come out and get the ball from the hole. Here was Kuchar.
5th hole is a back left pin. Not my favorite of hole locations, but it was one where I knew it was a full 9-iron. If I hit a full 9-iron, it would and put a little draw on it, which came out perfectly. I thought it'd be a good shot, and it was tracking very nicely. And then it looked like the ball stopped. From my perspective, it was hard to tell a little bit of the depth. It looked like it stopped, and then some of the volunteers up by the camera tower, I guess, clapped and cheered really loudly as it disappeared. So I had stopped watching, kind of was grabbing the tee out of the ground, and sure enough, hear the big kind of roar from the guys behind the green, and looked up, and there was no more golf balls. So that was a great feeling.
So 20 years from now, we will remember Kuchar making this hole-in-one in Detroit and having young Kashmir come out and grab the ball out of the hole. It's good stuff. Not that we'll forget Puerto Rico, but Kuchar, the vet, good chance going to the weekend, only 4 back. My final pairing prediction, when you look at who's going to be the top 3 players on this leaderboard going in tomorrow, in my opinion, Cam Young will hold strong at the top. Currently tied for the lead, I believe he will stay there. The other 2 players who will make a move, that'll be Michael Brennan, who's 2 back, and I really think 46-year-old Chris Kirk is going to find a way to hang around. I'm just amazed that he has found a way to get into contention this week. Once again, he loves Detroit. But this season, and over the years, he finished 2nd here last year, 14th and 23, 17th and 22. His best finish this season, 31st. And he has putted awful. When you look at the numbers, Chris Kirk coming in negative each and every week on the greens, something changes in his game when he gets to Detroit. I believe he will give himself another opportunity for PGA Tour win number 7 as far as Chris Kirk is concerned. Great show today. The bullpen is next. We'll see you next weekend on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor.